Let us now turn to read God's Word. And we are reading this morning from the Old Testament and the book of Joshua and chapter 4. The book of Joshua and chapter 4. Let us read and hear God's Word. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Joshua, out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God. For forever. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us all understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship, coming this time to the words from Psalm 65. Psalm 65, and we're singing at verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou dost choose and makest approach to thee, that he within thy courts, O Lord, may still our dweller be. We surely shall be satisfied with thine abundant grace and with the goodness of thine house, even of thy holy place. O God of our salvation, thou in thy righteousness by fearful works unto our prayers thine answer dost express. Therefore the ends of all the earth and those afar that be upon the sea, their confidence, O Lord, will place in thee. 65 in these verses, blessed is the man whom thou dost choose. Coming back to the portion of scripture we read there together a moment ago, I want us this morning particularly to look at verse 6 and at verse 21. And both of them contain a question. A question that is posed here this morning, but a question that must be repeated throughout our land this morning also. At so much that is taking place of remembrance, the cry comes from these verses to us. What mean ye by these stones? And the answer to the question must be found for our nation today, must be found in the experiences that are given to us in this chapter for our meditation now. Today, in the length and breadth of our land and overseas and distant lands, there is conflict taking place, but there's a pause, as it can be paused, for a time of remembrance and reflection. Remembrance of past conflicts in different places, where lives were given that we might enjoy the freedom that we have now. For many, that is a very personal remembrance. Over the number of years, and they are running long ways, a long time now, but nevertheless, over the number of years, there are still painful memories. And so it's good to pause and to think. But in all of the activity that is taking place, there is something which is, if not forgotten, only given a very minimal exposure. Something we don't hear very much about. A dimension that has been neglected. We have been not so much reminded of just how much we owe to God for his help and for our deliverance in times of battle and war in past. And even when we come to this time of remembrance today, it'll soon be forgotten until next time. God has a place in the life of our nation. We remember that place at Christmas time and at Easter time and at remembrance time. But it is sad to say that it is only a place. And between these markers I've indicated, we so often disregard, discount, dismiss any claim that God has or anything that God has to say to us as a nation. Until that is, something suddenly breaks in upon us, an unexpected disaster strikes, and then we retrace the weary steps, and we come back to God once again. And we're reminded of our psalm there in 33, that it is Jehovah that is the strength of a nation and a people. And no matter what might be the armaments or the forces that are deployed in these days, it was horses, it's different today. But these things aren't the sum and substance of our help and our hope. It is God and God alone who is our strength and our stay. So therefore we need to get that focus. We need to set that priority. We gather together, yes, to thank God for all the deliverances we've received as a nation and people in times past, recent years, and long years. So therefore we come to our meditation this morning. We all of us have significant places that are etched in our memories. We all of us have places that are so valuable, precious, dominating in our experiences. Places that we can, all we need to do is just simply mention a name and the whole book of memory opens up. A vivid recollection of what's happened in years gone by. Even to remembering the colours and the weather and the smells of these events of so long ago. That's the kind of experience that we've got here in this book of Joshua this morning. They had crossed the Jordan. They had done so in a miraculous way. Terror gripped the heart of the enemies round about because God was seen to be with his people. And they are now going out into the land of promise. And there were great opportunities ahead for them to do marvelous things. But before they did anything, having crossed the Jordan, having set out there on the way into the land of promise, they waited. And they put down markers in this place called Gilgal. Through all the things they had come, they were now pausing to reset the focus of their life. They were pausing to reset their spiritual priorities. Something that we need to do personally ourselves. But especially today, we need to remind our nation and our people to do it also. We need to keep and protect the spiritual dimension of our culture, society, and nation. In the New Testament, the Lord, when he had set out the disciples on mission, they came back with abundant, exciting stories of what they achieved, accomplished, and seen. And the Lord was very much aware of the kind of danger that that presents to them and to us. The way the excitement can overwhelm us and dominate us and distract us even. And so he says to the disciples, come you apart and rest a while. To reset their spiritual priorities and spiritual focus then, as in the days of Joshua, as for ourselves as a people and as individuals. We need to listen to what Joshua is here telling us. Take the lessons and take the challenges right down to our own society today. So what do we have here? How do we take these and apply them to where we are as a nation and a people this day? Let me suggest several simple headings that hopefully and prayerfully will linger with us, but will also be a source of blessing. This place was first of all a place of remembrance. A place of remembrance where the stones were set up. They were facing the worst of conditions when they came to the site of the Jordan River. It was in spate. the floodplain of the Jordan was quite an extensive piece of ground. It wasn't just simply the river itself, but the approaches and the banks of the Jordan were quite extensive, and they were riddled with ditches, roots, so much danger to an advancing nation of people, children, kids and such like. It wasn't an army that was going here, it was a nation of people. There were hidden routes and hidden traps, and it was such a dangerous place to be. But yet the Lord opens a way for them that they might cross. In their helplessness, the Lord operated. And the Lord, in power and in might and in grace, met them in their need. And they got across in safety. And we have to see just how dependent we are upon God day after day. A God who will never let his people down. We have that. One of the themes that will be repeated throughout our meetings of today. The way in which the Lord delivers and helps. But we've got to keep reminding ourselves of that, not just simply to one day alone, but we've got to keep applying it every day of our life. And what the Lord did here was our most remarkable and a marvelous thing. Opening the way. It wasn't just simply a narrow channel that was opened, because the nation and the people that were there were many, many thousands. It was a huge flank of the river that was stopped, so that they could cross in a broad, wide front. A marvelous deliverance. A marvelous display. A marvelous show of the dedication of the Lord and the commitment of the Lord to his people and their survival. And after they crossed the river, these 12 stones were used to build a cairn. First of all, where the feet of the priests were, but also where they came out on the far bank and stopped that night. It was a visual aid that God was with his people, that God was faithful to his word. It was there a marker. It was a place of remembrance of the marvelous ways in which God had brought them through difficulty, met them in their need when they were helpless. It was a marker bringing them, challenging them to worship him and to acknowledge him as the hand that had given them so much in their need. It was there, a visual aid for many generations to come. Children, they always are inquisitive. They always ask the question, why, how, where? And that is the very thing that is highlighted in verse 6 and verse 21. When your children ask the question, why? Why do you have this pile of stones? There is an opportunity to tell of the work of God. Thrilled with a sense of God's mercy. Rich with a display of God's grace. All of it overshadowed by God's love to his people. A place of remembrance. And it was a place that they returned to and came back to time and again. This was their base for going into the land of promise, to inhabit what was given to them by God. And there were times of setback, and there were times when they were rebuffed and back on their heels. And when that happened, they would come back and remember again what God had done for them. To encourage them, to strengthen them, when used properly and correctly, thinking of what God had done for them. One of the greatest dangers that we have is of forgetting things. It grows and it gets bigger a problem as we get older. We lose the details. The effect of what's happened begins to fade and erode from our life. Once we were excited, but now it's passed by and we're unmoved. And the Lord recognizes that erosion and that fading by setting up this very pile of stones to keep it at the front of their mind. The priority that ought to be with them as with ourselves. This was not an ordinary, everyday event. This was something special and unique and different, marvelous. That's why they had to remember it. The way God deals with his people, the way God deals with you and I, it's not with these flash, dazzling displays on a daily basis. But God has done amazing and remarkable things for us in the past. And we are to walk, we are told, by faith. And that simply means that we rely and trust in what God has shown and done for us in the times past. Remembering that God changes not, but hold on to what we've experienced and apply it where we are today. To keep that spiritual focus for ourselves. That's why this place is a place of remembrance for them. Yes, just the same as today, there is remembrance in many places in our land. But it must needs be remembrance on the same scale and in the same focus as we have here. What God has done for us as a nation and as a people. But that's not the only application of this simple truth. We also have to remember something much, much more important of a spiritual application. We must remember Calvary and the cross. Yes, and the communion and the Lord's Supper that's associated with it. This do in remembrance of me. That is what our Lord says. And the danger that is always highlighted for us is we can sometimes be following afar off. Sometimes the cross can be a distant shape in the horizon of our life, which doesn't affect us with the same passion as it once did. There is a danger of forgetting. And we need to come back time and time again, every Lord's Day, to face up to and to come close nearby this cross. For there we are told of what God has done, deliverance, display of his wisdom and his might and his power, his grace and his love in a most marvelous way. There we have the signs of God's provision for sinners. And we need to live underneath the shadow of that cross day after day. Not just simply twice a year for communion. Not just simply once a week at our services. But we need to live day after day underneath the shadow and the claims. But also the comfort of this cross. What it cost our Lord and our death to him for it. a place of deliverance for those who are troubled and disturbed through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. A place of remembrance. It has many applications to us on this day, to our nation, to ourselves, physically, nationally, spiritually. But if we have here a place of remembrance, we also have here something else. We have a place of rededication. And again, that applies to us as a nation today. Because here, when they came across the Jordan and they stopped a while on the bank in a place called Gilgal, what was it that took place there? As they came across the Jordan, the Lord told the people to institute again the circumcision that was the mark of the nation and the people of God. At that time, chapter 5, verse 2, I'm reading there. At that time the Lord said to Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. What's the significance of this? It's the place of rededication. Because what had happened? Circumcision was a sign of the people of God to whom the promises had been given. But when you go back to the history of these people, go back to the 12 spies that were sent to spy out the land at the place called Kadesh Barnea, they came all the way back, every one of them, with a great report of what good was in the land. But 10 of them also mentioned this: there's this enemy and there's these people and cities and they're mighty men and we won't be able to overcome them. And so there was that element of rebellion and a refusal to go forward and a doubting of the ability of God. And from that moment onwards, the nation were consigned to walk in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, who came back with an altogether different report. Yes, the enemy is as you say it is, but God can overcome them. And so the nation had to walk in the wilderness for 40 years. And it was a 40 years for a specific purpose, so that all those people who were rebels at Kadesh Barnea, that they were buried in the wilderness in a trail of graves over 40 years. But in the meantime, this rite of circumcision stopped amongst the nation and the people of Israel. It was no longer practiced, it was no longer instituted, because rebellion was amongst the people. But now there is a new generation, and they're going to enter into the land of promise. And the reason for the displeasure of God against them has been removed. They are no longer that nation of rebels from Kadesh Barnea. They are a new people, grown up. And so we come to the place of rededication. They are rededicating themselves to God. And how we would hope and pray for that to be one of the themes of today. We would look for that to be known amongst our nation, to dedicate ourselves when we think of the place of remembrance, also to come to the place of rededication, to give ourselves to God, committing ourselves to Him. The rebellion that has maybe been in the past, to be dealt with, to be removed, with this fresh commitment of our life, of our nation, of our people. As we were singing in Psalm 33, we come back to it time and again. That nation blessed is whose God is Jehovah. But as we've done in the previous, so we do it here, there is just also this application of a spiritual rededication. That cross that we were talking about, and the way in which sometimes we can be following afar off and we can let things drift and we can let things go. That cross, the shadow of it comes into our lives, and when God deals with us, there's no way that we can be less than honest in God's dealings with us. There's no way we can hide from Him. There is complete transparency required in dealing with God. If we try to qualify our commitment to God, if we say yes there but not here, you can have that but I'm keeping this. If we try to approach the Christian life on these terms, then there will be no success. There will be a measure of barrenness had by us. But even more than that, we will soon discover that the Lord God is a jealous God. And He will not tolerate that kind of attitude in any one of us if we are His people. His hand is laid upon our life. The troubles, they don't go away, they simply multiply. And all the time the Lord is identifying and put His finger upon the problem that we've got to address and we've got to remove. The place of rededication comes to us when the Lord takes us. It might be over a long time, it might be over a short period, but He has addressed the problem in our life. Something that's been there that shouldn't be there. A measure of rebellion, a measure of qualification, whatever might be the nature of the problem, the Lord knows it. And it's in our souls from time to time. But He takes us to that place of rededication. To examine our hopes and to examine our lives. To ask who's controlling our life and where are we directing our life to achieve and what's the purpose in our life. That kind of examination the Lord engages in with us. It's painful. It's challenging. He takes us to the cross and He takes us apart at the cross. We need to do our spiritual sums of all the good things the Lord has given to us and then the things that perhaps we're holding back from Him. And the Lord asks us, will you follow Me? Wholly, completely, and fully. The place of rededication for ourselves individually, for ourselves as a nation and as a people. We can let things drift, whatever time scale and whatever picture we're looking at ourselves, alone or together. We can let things drift. And we can hardly notice the drift that comes to ourselves until God puts His finger upon it and draws us back to what we've let go of. And there will be no progress with us alone. There will be no progress with us as a nation until that problem is dealt with, faced up to, and resolved. That's the challenge in the gospel we have here this morning. But it should also be the challenge in other places of remembrance today. A place of remembrance, yes, but also a place of rededication to the God, the living God who has done so much for us in times past. But something else that we can say about this experience, remembrance, rededication. The third thing about this place, it was a place of restoration. Because not only did they have the circumcision rite instituted amongst them again, we are told here when you come down to verse 10 of chapter 5. And the children of Israel encamped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. It was the restoration of this Passover amongst the people. They had forfeited that right. By their disobedience, they had surrendered that privilege. They were not circumcised. They could not partake in this Passover. There was disobedience in the people. There was no blessing, therefore, for them. But now having come across the Jordan, now having instituted that rite of circumcision, now having dealt with the rebellion that was amongst them as a people for 40 years, now they come and they acknowledge God. And they come to worship God. And they do so as a nation and as a people. There is this restoration of the worship of God amongst them. Disobedience can be like a dam. It holds back blessing. We are useless to ourselves. We are useless to others. We are useless to God. And we need to deal with that problem. And when we deal with it, the moment that it's dealt with, then the Lord so often comes with his arms filled with blessing to unload upon our souls. If we are diverted from the path, the Lord indeed is grieved, and he withholds the blessings to enrich our souls. And we always find problems along the way because we're not worshipping God as we should. We let things drift, as we've said, and we can see it in our nation and our people today. The way in which things are imported and given credence and respectability. The way in which standards are slipping. The way in which things are diluted. The way in which the sharpness of the Christian faith is blunted and the light of it is dulled. The way in which this unique faith that was the birthright of our nation and the boast of our people, the way in which is being lost, eroded, excluded, even expelled. And what we need is for restoration. A restoration to the worship, the praise, the obedience of the Lord. That's what we need for ourselves. That's what we need for our nation. There are privileges that we look for, we long for. There are Christian blessings that we look for to come upon our people. Blessings in so many areas of national life, on finances and such like. We're looking for blessing. Well, sometimes we've got to stop and ask ourselves the questions. The privileges of blessing for the children will only come when we live as children of God. The place of restoration. The Passover was started again. The worship of God restored again. What we need in our land today is that same place of restoration when we think of what he's done for us in the past and how we've neglected to acknowledge him in so many ways today. Place of remembrance, place of rededication, place of restoration. One last thought, and maybe this one needs to be explained when I give it. It's a place of repetition. Now let me just carefully explain what I mean, why I've used that word repetition. When you come to chapter 5 and verse 12, we are told, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. I put it in there for that verse, repetition. Manna was the fruit of the wilderness, and it continued with them as long as they needed it and required it. But now they were coming into the lands and the fields and the orchards. They were coming into the rich ground of Canaan. They didn't need the manna anymore. It didn't continue because it wasn't necessary. The provision was now coming from a different source. But I said repetition. It was coming from a different source, but it was the same God who was supplying it to them. Repetition of God's provision for them. God is faithful to His word. God is faithful to His promises. As we trust Him, He will not desert us, or He will not abandon these promises. There is no break in the supply that God makes and gives to His people. In the wilderness, there was the awe of that provision night and morning. But don't think that that provision is now being lost because of the fields and the orchards. God opens His hand. Psalm 145 tells us God opens His hand and we receive, every one of us, good things from God. A place of repetition. So therefore apply it to ourselves. We are all moving on. A nation. We're moving on as a people from war and strife. Individually, we're going through down the path of our years. We're all moving on. We leave behind certain experiences. But the God that we've come to trust in at one time, in one aspect, in one area of our life, is the same God who is with His people still today. He is the same God who is there before us in the scriptures, to whom we're called to trust and to follow. That same obedience is required of us. We will hear it. We refer to it. We remember it. Our God has been our help in times past. A great testimony when it comes from deep within us. God indeed has been our help in time past. But He's the same God to meet us and be with us today. We might change, but God does not. So therefore, as a nation and as a people, as individuals this day, we need not only to remember what God has done for us in the past, but our life changes and our life moves on, but that doesn't mean that God changes or moves on or leaves us or abandons us or qualifies what He said or done for us. Repetition. It's the same God with the same blessings coming in different ways and forms to us, to be sure, yes, but all coming from the same hand to our need. This place, the gospel application for us, we've taken it along the way. What about ourselves? Is this place, this gospel, these messages we've heard time and time again, is this a place of remembrance for us? When we remember God's might and power in making provision for the needs of sinners. Do we remember the cross and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we do, is this a place of rededication when we give ourselves afresh to Him because of what He's given to His people? Is this a place of restoration where we worship him from deep within us? All of our being, without qualification. Is this a place of repetition? Yes, things have changed. We've moved on. But God has not moved from us. He is the same God still for us, as a nation and as a people. The place of remembrance, the place of rededication, the place of restoration, and the place of repetition. What is Gilgal? What is Calvary to you and to me today? Let us pray. Our gracious God and Lord, we bless thee again this morning for these gospel themes, for this gospel privilege, for the way in which we can come before thyself to acknowledge thy help in times past and to seek thee to be with us in these days still. And may the blessing come home to our soul to challenge us as to where we are spiritually in our relationship with thyself, and in the quietness of our soul, may thy word come home to us with power to make this day and this time different for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 62 at verse 5. My soul, wait thou with patience upon thy God alone. On him dependeth all my hope and expectation. He only my salvation is, and my strong rock is he. He only is my sure defense, I shall not move be. In God my glory placed is, and my salvation sure. In God the rock is of my strength, my refuge most secure. Ye people, place your confidence in him continually. Before him pour ye out your heart. God is a refuge high. 62 from 5 through to 8, 4 stanzas. My soul, wait thou with patience. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit